Tonight, we appreciate so very much the fact that we can gather together and worship and serve the Lord. Thank you, Jake, for your leading our singing tonight, Buzz, for the prayer, and for all of you that are here tonight, thank you for being here. We appreciate our elders, Tommy, and glad that he's back with us now, he and Shirley, and Jeff. We pray that you'll continue to bless them. God will bless them, along with all of our deacons, and certainly it's a joy to be able to speak with you tonight. Sure do miss Mike, and we're just so grateful that God has sent him our way. But wherever they are, we just pray that God will bless them and hasten when they can come back and be here with us. Tonight, I'd like for you to turn your Bible, if you will, to Acts chapter 17. Here we find immediately that the Apostle Paul and Silas are traveling. They're traveling a lot, as we find here in chapter 17 of the book of Acts, on what is commonly called the second missionary journey. And I'd like to read with you a few of these verses together. And we're going to come back to chapter 17, verse 11, and emphasize this verse for tonight. Beginning in verse 1, we read the word of the Lord, and here's what it says. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Now notice where Paul is. He's in the synagogue with the Jews. What is he doing? The Bible says he's there, and for these three Sabbath days, he reasons with them out of the synagogues. What's he reasoning about? Well, it gives us an answer, verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Ah, Paul, where are you? I'm over in Thessalonica. What are you doing, Paul? Going to where the people are. Going to where the Jews are. What are you doing with these people? I'm reasoning with them. What are you reasoning with them from? You're reasoning with them out of the Scriptures and them teaching how that Jesus Christ indeed has been risen from the dead and that he is preached as being the Messiah. Look in verse 4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women but a few. He had response, pretty good response. However, look what happens, verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, some did believe, some did accept it, but there were those that did not. And look what happens to these people that would not accept what Paul had been teaching. They were moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and they gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Joseph and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Joseph hath received and those who do contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." Oh, what a beautiful statement. And he indeed is king. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and the others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas the night before to Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Where was Paul when he was in Thessalonica? He's in the synagogue. Why is he in the synagogue? He's reasoning with the Jews. That's where the people are. He's reasoning with them out of the Scriptures. Now when he comes to Berea, he goes where? He goes into the synagogue. And the Bible says that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word, they were in readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of an honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. The difference between the two cities is reflected in the attitude of the people where Paul met them. They were met in the synagogues, and Paul reasoned with them, and he took the Word of God, the Old Testament Scriptures, and he showed from the Scriptures that Jesus indeed is that Christ, the Son of the living God. And now when you look at the Thessalonians, yes, the Bible tells us that he had some that did believe. But then when he came to Berea, there's something said about these people. Notice, if you, they were more noble than Thessalonica. But these brethren were advanced in their nobility. Why? Because they had a readiness of mind. Their attitude was different. They would say, whatever you're saying, Paul, tell us what the Scripture is. And they were reasoning out of the Scriptures, searching the Word of the Lord. Is it really true what you're saying? And proving that it was indeed true. We must be that kind of a people, searching and examining those things that are taught by the divine will of God. These people had a ready mind. What kind of mind do we have? You remember in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, if ye then been risen with Christ, set your mind upon the things that are above and not upon the things that are upon the earth. Where's our minds? Upon the things of the earth or upon the things that are above? These people searched or examined the Scriptures. What were they examining? They were examining the precious Word of God, and did daily. There are about five things that I want to mention, and then we'll make a couple application and lesson to be yours tonight. First of all, they were examining truth because they wanted to find the truth. That's a wonderful attitude. Digging deeper and deeper in God's precious truth, learning more and more. In John 5, verse 39, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life eternal, and they are they which testify of me. What is it that testifies of Christ? Jesus said it was the Scriptures. In 2 John, verse 9, whosoever goeth home and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. We want God. We want to make sure that we're with God. There's only one way to do that, and that is to abide in the doctrine of Christ. 2 John, verse 9. And then in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4, Paul is writing to this young evangelist. This young evangelist's name was Timothy. And he says to Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own self, he seek to them teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fable. Secondly, search God's Word earnestly. Search it so you might learn it. In Psalms 119, verse 18, the psalmist says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Friends, there are so many wonderful things found in that book, but the only way you're going to know about them is to open that book and to study them. You remember in John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. The apostles were guided in that truth. And no wonder then, we find in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I suggest to you tonight that we need to earnestly search for truth. Thirdly, let's do it real carefully. Let's make sure whatever subject that we are analyzing, whatever subject we are examining, whatever passage that we are considering, that we do it very carefully. Paul said to Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I suggest you tonight, in order for us to learn and know God's truth, we want truth. We need to examine truth very carefully. And in the fourth place, do it humbly. In other words, whenever you find that you're wrong about something, humbly submit to it. Don't let it go. Why, when we find in Psalms 51, verse 6, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make known the wisdom of God." Right down in verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." But we'll not become whiter than snow unless we know what God tells us to do to make us whiter than snow. Let us be people that are humbly submitting to truth. Fifthly, search it and search it regularly. I have to admit to you tonight, I don't read the Bible as much as I should. Oh, I love to. Sometimes early in the morning, 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock or so in the morning, I can't sleep. I love to get up, taking God's Word and studying it. Oh, my friend, it's a marvelous thing. The Bereans of old, they had a readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures. And when did they do it? They did it daily. They did it regularly. In Psalms 1, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law." What? "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." What a wonderful disposition. Here we find, just like those people who were noble, more noble than the Thessalonians. Why? Because they had a readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures. They wanted to know what God's law really said. In Matthew 4, verse 4, remember Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." 2 John, verse 9, "Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine, he hath both the Father and the Son." Over in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4, "Preach the Word." Why? That's where God's will is to us. In Psalms 119, verse 89, the psalmist writes, "Forever, O Lord, is thy word settled." It's final. It's settled. It's God's word. In Psalms 119, 104, and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding," but you'll not get it if you don't listen to the precepts of the word of the Lord. "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What a beautiful statement made by God in Psalms 110 by Psalms 119, 104, and 105. In Proverbs 35 and 6, "Every word of God is pure." Every word? Yes. Whose word? God's word. "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in it. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Looking at these people there in Berea, these people who had a readiness of mind, these people who wanted to know the truth, let us be the kind of people who will certainly do so on any subject. Two of them tonight. Number one, how important is faith? I know when I turn to Hebrews 11, verse 6, there's not a single individual that will ever be in heaven who does not believe in the one who has made heaven, who lives there. Why, in Hebrews 11, verse 6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." You can't do it. It's not possible. You have to have faith. In John 8, verse 24, Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I'm he, you will die in your sins." How important is faith? Oh, my beloved friend, it's absolutely essential. But guess what? You can't be saved by faith alone. How do you know that? Well, the Bible tells us in James 2, verse 19, thou believest that there is one God. If just simply believing is all that an individual had to do, then all the devils would be saved. For the Bible says, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. Faith is essential, but we cannot be saved without faith. No one can be saved by faith alone. When we get people out in the world who believe that they can be, when they tell you that they are very sincere, that they believe that all you have to do is just, I hear these preachers sometimes come on the TV station, and they say, if you're lost, all you got to do is just say this prayer. Friend, what does the Word of God say? When people go to search, find out, they find out God tells them, yes, indeed, you've got to believe, but you also have to engage in the works that are of God. In James 2, verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not the only place in the Bible, but there it is, not by faith alone. Secondly, isn't it wonderful thing to be a member of the church? Isn't it wonderful that we have the O'Neill congregation? How brothers and sisters we love, brothers and sisters that work hard, brothers and sisters in the Lord that exalt in Christ, living, keeping God's precious will. And the Bible tells us how we're all in the church. Everybody's in there the same way. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I don't know how many people have told me, I do not believe that I have to be a member of any church in order to go to heaven. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, because God tells them what to do to be saved. In the church, how? They're added by the Lord. They hear the word, Romans 10, 17. They believe it and they obey it, Mark 16, 15, 16. And when they do, every time they do it, when an individual believes and obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the Lord that when they have been baptized, adds them to the church. Oh, my friend, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I ask you tonight, isn't it wonderful to read about these folks over there in Berea? These people in Berea whose mind was ready to receive the word of the Lord. These people in Berea who were searching. They were searching the truth. They were searching God's will. These people had a willingness to do what? They wanted to find the truth, and so do we. But there's only one way for us to find that truth is, and that is to have the truth and then consult the truth and know what God said. Jesus said in John 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Don't you feel good when you've learned something from the Bible and you know you're compatible with it? Because you know what God has said, and you're doing it. You're obeying it. And you thank God for the privilege of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Yes, you find the true God. People are talking, where's God? Some of the things I've heard people say about God during these last few months just make my blood just almost boil to hear them talk about God the way that they do and make fun of the fact they don't even believe there is a God. In Isaiah 55, verses 6, and seek the Lord. I would tell us to seek the Lord if there was not the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God who will abundantly pardon. That's what you find. pardon, forgiveness. Where in truth? When you know what God says and you know you've done it, you can rest assured God will keep His word. And yes, His abundant pardon is for us. And I want to suggest to you in conclusion tonight, you know what you're going to find when you read that book? When you look at people like the Bereans of old, who had a readiness of mind when you do, when they look at the truth, they want to know the law of the Lord, you're going to find a map. You're going to find a guide. And it's going to tell you how you can be a good husband and a good wife. Have a happy marriage. You're going to find that as a parent, you can be a good parent. Your children can be obedient to you. Be sensitive, because that prized relationship, the way that you're to walk, is found here in the Word of God. What was it the psalmist said in Psalms 119, verses 104 and 105? Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Yes, you'll find the path that leads from earth to heaven. Jesus, the Bible tells us in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh from the Father but by me. And let me add, every man will come before the Father when he goes through Jesus Christ. When you're walking through Him, when you obey Him, serve Him. No wonder the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. In Romans 5, 8 and 9, God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved. Boy, isn't that wonderful? We shall be saved through his blood. Won't you deny, if you're not a Christian, obey the gospel? And if you're a child of God, you haven't lived, won't you ask God to forgive you? He will. And won't you deny, render obedience to the one, and be like those people at Berea, who had a mind, was set on learning the truth, and when the truth is presented, so many obeyed. If you're subject anyway to the invitation of Jesus, won't you come and obey Him while together we stand and while we sing.